We're going through the book of Hebrews together this morning. We're in Hebrews 9, if you'll turn there with me. The title of the message this morning is Anchored in Christ. It's appropriate that we're talking about this morning because we're anchored in Christ. We're thankful for our position in Christ that He won for us. He left nothing to chance. He took care of everything. Come on, someone. No doubt. No unbelief. He took care of everything. Turn to your neighbor and say, He took care of everything. We need not worry about anything, see? Worry is an enemy of faith. Be anxious for nothing, Paul says in Philippians, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, giving thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 9, the writer of Hebrews goes back to the main theme of this book. He says, then indeed even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. Verse 5 says, and above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. Verse 7 says, but into the second part, the high priest went only alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. Verse 8 says, the Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. The blood of Jesus Christ, my friend, is more powerful than we could ever imagine. We sell ourselves short when we think that the blood doesn't have the power that it does. The blood has the power over sin. The blood has power over sickness. The blood has power over the enemy. When Jesus uttered these words after shedding His blood on Calvary, He said, it is finished. That was the three greatest words ever spoken of in history. Ever. They're not, I love you. It is finished. The word blood is brought forth here in Hebrews chapter 9. It has not been used yet in the first 8 chapters of Hebrews. Blood was not mentioned. But now it's talked about profusely. Because the blood made the way. The pure blood of our Savior, which was shed on Calvary, made the way for us. He not only shed His blood on Calvary, but He took it into the heavenlies. Listen, He took it into the heavenlies and sprinkled it on the holy things. Making a way for you and I all the time, being able to go into the presence of God without asking. It's our home. It's where we live in the presence of the Lord. How many know there's no problems in His presence? You had problems outside His presence. There's no problems with Him. So the blood is talked about a lot here in this chapter. Verses 1 through 4, the effectiveness of the blood in opening the most holy place. Heretofore, before Christ sprinkled His blood, only one could go into the holy place, Holy of Holies, once a year. Could not see a thing, blind as a bat, sprinkling blood and getting out of there. But now we are able to go in and out and find pasture in God. We don't need to ask permission. God, may I come? God, can you hear me? God, will you come? God, will you change things? Of course He'll change things. Of course He'll listen to you. Of course you're welcome in His presence by the blood of Jesus Christ. Verses 15 through 22, the dedication of the covenant and the cleansing of all. Someone say all. The most beautiful word ever invented, all. Christ did it all. Somebody said, Christ did it all. He did it all. There's nothing He left to chance. There's nothing He left out. There's nothing that you have to ask for. He gave you all because He gave His all. Man, that should make you 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Verses 23 through 28, it opened the heaven and it put away all sin. Psalm 103, verse 12, the psalmist says it like this, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Now, if we stand here and go east as far as we can and west as far as we can, tell me when east and west will ever meet. Never. And that's how far He separated our sinful nature from us. Come on, somebody. This is shouting stuff this morning. This is Thanksgiving stuff. Because He's separated us from our sins. As far as the east is from the west. You say, well, you don't know me very well. I just sinned. That's okay. God made provision for it. And He's sending it the same place as He sent the other. Come on, somebody. Never heard God ever in my walk with Him in the 37 years I've walked with Christ. I've never heard Him remind me of a sin. The devil would like to. You know why? Because we got this flapper going. We open our mouth and talk about it. You fell? You're a failure. God hasn't forgiven you. You go to God and say, God, how do I deal with this? How do you deal with what? How do I deal with this? I don't see any sin. Where did the sin go? It was washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as far as the east is from the west. Now, when you talk about weakness, when you talk about temptation, there's where God's at. He says, you confess your weakness to me. We'll deal with it. I'll make you strong. But that sin you repented of, we ain't going to talk about it. Come on. If we deal with that kind of forgiveness with each other, man, you couldn't get in this place. The parking lot be so full. But you know what it is? We remember stupid things about each other. Especially in a town this size. You remember what somebody did 30 years ago. Come on, somebody. I went to a church here in town and preached, and people came up and reminded me of something that happened before I was ever heard of between the two churches. I was like, excuse me? It was like 30 years ago, man. You still thinking about that stuff? Families won't talk to each other because of something that happened 30 years ago. 40 years ago. If the church would treat each other like Christ treats us, you couldn't get room in any church building in America. We'd be packed. Just loving one another like Christ loves us. The blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Chasing a rabbit, but it's a good one. The description of the tabernacle, the writer of Hebrew goes into, first part, holding the table of showbread, the lampstand and the table, the sense of God. This was to show us that there is a way into the presence of God made by our high priest. He rent the veil. There is nothing that holds us from His presence except our doubt and our unbelief. The holiest of all in Hebrew, listen to what it means. In the original language, it's the holiness of holinesses. It's a pure, sinless place that God welcomes us into. The highest position of holiness that you and I are welcomed into. It was where God dwelt in the holiness of holinesses, and it's where God dwells right now in you. The holiness of holinesses, He chose you. You say, well, I don't feel very holy. I don't care how you feel. I'm telling you what's happened. When Christ came, the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in sinful places. He doesn't make his home in sin. He makes his home in purity. Come on, somebody. Inside our spirit man is as pure. It's the holiness of holinesses. And we carry the presence of God with us wherever we go. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen this morning. Because reality is we're dealing with all the time. When we say things like that, right away our mind kicks in and say, well, that's in, how can that be? How can the holiness of holinesses be in me? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I've done? Don't you know where I've been? Yes, God knows where you've been. God knows what you've done. But He died for that. And He said, I've come live inside of you. Woo! Glory to God. Woo! Man. His presence living inside of us. God called man to approach in the old covenant. But no one could get that close save the high priest. The two tabernacles provide a picture for us of the approach made through the old. One of restricted access. Only one could get in once a year. But again, I reiterate, we have an unrestricted access provided for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, Roman numeral 2, the Holy Spirit made a way. Now, if you could stop, let me leave notes for a minute and just, if we could get a picture of what happened in heaven. Because it was between God, God, and God. This whole covenant thing had nothing to do with human beings. It was made between God, God, and God. God the Father sitting on the throne, receiving the promises of the covenant. God the Son bringing His own blood and sprinkling it on the holy things of heaven. And the Holy Spirit witnessing the two. The mediator of the covenant was none other than the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, representing man, came before God and says, God, to you I bring, it is written of me in the scroll of the book, I delight to do your will. Sprinkling His blood on the holy things, and the Holy Spirit says, now you've made a way into the Holy of Holies for anyone that receives you as their Savior. Tell me what could have failed in that covenant. Nothing. Because it didn't. It's not like the old covenant that was made with imperfect men and women. That stood there and said, whatever you say God will do. And it lasted all of 24 hours. Because left to our own devices, what do we fall back into? Sin. Everybody knows New Year's resolutions last about as long as you can say them. How many, if I went around the room this morning, how many of us made promises to God before we got saved? God, if you get me out of this. God, if you get me home, I'm so drunk I can't drive my car, but if you get me home, I'll go to church tomorrow. Nobody ever said that? Come on. You didn't care who God was. You're just begging Him to do something. Left to our own devices, we'll fall apart. Covenant made with sinful man was made to fall apart. That's what God, the whole thing was about. You can't do this, but I'm going to send someone in the likeness of men that's perfect in every way, and He's going to be your representative. He's going to stand before me and make a covenant that will be forever. Once He sprinkled His blood. He doesn't keep sprinkling blood. He doesn't keep confessing sin. He took care of sin so that when you go into the holiness of holinesses, when you go into God's presence, when you escape, when you get on your knees and pray, and your spirit man begins to talk, it's the purest, most holiest place you could ever be. Because sin has been taken care of. The Holy Spirit made a way. He bears the holiness of God and imparts it to us. He was in charge of the way to be revealed to man. The Lord revealed this truth to Moses in the pattern on the mountain. The veil was there by order of the Holy Spirit until a way was provided. It wasn't because God was trying to hide or be mean. He knew that if man came into His presence before the holy blood of Christ was shed, mankind would be dead, killed. No sin can abide in you. We could talk another time, and we've talked before about David, who somehow transcended all that stuff and had God live in his backyard for 33 years. Listen to me. Had God living in his backyard for 33 years, 24/7 worship. But you know the funny thing? Less than 50 miles away, I guess less than 15, very close to where they were, the tabernacle was still running. The glory of God was in David's backyard, but they were sacrificing once a year in the holiness of holinesses where God was already gone. Man, if you catch this, your prayer life, say, man, I feel so close to God whenever I watch this TV program or listen to this tape or do something, or when I come to church, I feel so close to God. Oh, I've never felt this close to God. God's living inside of you. He's closer than anyone could ever get. I'm close to my wife, but I don't live inside of her, thank God. Come on, somebody. Many believers do not experience the intimacy that's provided by God. They've seen the altar and received the pardon of sin. They serve God and seek to do His will. The joy of His presence and the intimacy, though, escape them. It ought not be, my friend. It ought not be. You say, well, I don't want to get... But listen, God knows your personality, especially men. Men don't want to get all... I don't want to get all girly. All those feelings. God is close to you, man. He knows your personality. Come on, He deals with men like men. Men, we ought to stand and take our place as the leaders in our home and in our community. Come on, somebody. Thank God for our sisters. Thank God for our wives. Thank God for the women here. But men, we've got to stand up. God lives in us. He's made a way for us. Come on, someone. He made a way. The case for the Pentecostal blessing comes forth. The baptism of the Spirit is the passing through the veil to the closeness of God. President, the Spirit goes from resident in your heart to president in your heart. Direct and continual fellowship, not gazing from afar from the altar of sacrifice. The altar of sacrifice was what we call the cross. If you look very closely, and I invite you to come after church and look very closely at this cross. If you look, you have to look very closely, but there's nobody on it. You got to look very closely though. Got to come up. I invite you to come up and peer at this thing. There's nobody on the cross. It was an instrument of death, past tense. I died on that cross with Christ. But I'm no longer hanging there. He's no longer hanging there. I've gone beyond the cross, past the altar of sacrifice. I've been invited into the holiness of holinesses, into His very presence. Thank God for the cross, but I'm not going to go back to the cross time and time again just to make sure I'm hanging there. I'm not. I died with Christ. And I rose with Christ. I don't know where my tomb is, but God does. The old man died. You gotta look very close though, because some crosses have somebody hanging there. I don't know who that guy is. And they get all religious when they get closer. They make signs in front of them. It's an idol. It's not Jesus. All gaunt and got a cloth hanging around him, and it looks like something Hollywood conjure up. He's not suffering anymore. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's seated at the heavenly places. He's in the throne. Come on, somebody! There's nobody hanging on that cross, and neither are we! Thank God. Religious mumbo jumbo. Some dude hanging there. half naked that we think is going to make us holy. I got news for you. It only happened once. It was the worst 6 hours that earth and heaven ever saw. But it passed. And he beat death. I got it on good report that he beat death. And he's not hanging on any cross anymore. So he opened the holiest. This tabernacle does not have the marks of man upon it. The tabernacle in the heavenlies. It is purely God. He involved himself in the redemption of mankind. He invited himself to redeem mankind. He, by the Holy Spirit, made a new and living way. The two compartments show the two degrees of fellowship. One is based on works and obedience and strict adherence to the law. There are plenty of people hanging around the cross. Gads of people hanging around the cross. God, I just wanted to make sure I'm in good standing with you today. And you never get beyond that. It's a relationship based on works. It's a relationship based on fear. It's a relationship based on that God's pen has an eraser on it. Oh, that's it for you, buddy. I'm shaking you out of that, and I'm erasing your name. And this eraser don't smudge. Let me tell you what. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life eternally. Eternally. Turn to somebody and say eternally. That means forever. Oh boy. You did that again, Esha. Get that guy out of here. Come on, somebody. I didn't mean to make light of it. It's just that we have this, gads of people have this relationship with God based on something that's not true. He made a new and a living way for us. Verse 12 says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Somebody say eternal. What does eternal mean? You know what eternal means in the Greek? Eternal. You know what it means in the Hebrew? Eternal. You know what it means in French? Eternal. Timeless. His victory on the cross did not complete the redemption. He entered into the holiest with his own blood. After he died, he went into the heavens. He said, tell Peter and the disciples to meet me in Galilee. I go to my Father and your Father. He went. The blood he shed was sinless. The life is in the blood. That's what was recognized as an acceptable sacrifice. His resurrection sealed the covenant through the application of the blood. When he died on the cross and took his blood and sprinkled it in the heavenlies, it was done. It was prophetic when he said before he left his earthly body, it is finished. It was a prophetic word for what he was about to do is take his own blood, untainted by sin, and sprinkle it on the holy artifacts of heaven. Even heaven was cleansed by the blood of Christ. Even the purest place that could ever be thought of was sprinkled with the blood. How powerful. In Christ, the sin of man and the righteousness of God met. Death was connected forever with sin. Eternal life is connected forever with God. Stop saying that you're a sinner. You say that to me, we're going to have a... Forget the office. It's going to be... The blood was the power of the resurrection. It was by the blood that Jesus was raised, and it was by his blood that he gained eternal life for us. Verse 13, his blood cleanses our conscience. For if the bulls of the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sacrifice for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The entrance of the Old Testament high priest into the holiest place made a temporary cleansing possible. But Christ's blood opened up heaven and cleansed our hearts once for all. He has sprinkled our hearts and delivered us from an evil conscience. Do you realize how much faith it takes for a believer to not believe this? It takes a lot more faith than to believe it. Come on, somebody. If you're a believer today, if you love Jesus Christ, you are victorious. You have everything. Heaven has piled stuff on you. You're overflowing with the grace of God. You're overflowing with the power of God. You're overflowing with the anointing of God. It's not God's intent that you have to go look for that anointing. It's not God's intent that you have to go seek after that anointing. It's there. Act on it. That's what the blood of Jesus did for us. It cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It cleanses our conscience. Christ's blood opened the heavens and cleansed our hearts once for all. His blood provides two things. Number one, it provides a perfect sacrifice of holy obedience, not to be matched by any other. It's done. It's finished. It's over. God has already tried you and found you not guilty. That is an eternal not guilty. Come on, somebody. My mother was a big believer in ridding us of any guilt after we got spanked. Because you knew the way to a guiltless relationship with my mother was through the switch in the backyard. Made us go cut the switch, cut the branch off the tree, and we had to watch her pull the leaves off of it while we were standing there wailing at the top of our lungs. No, 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 no. Bam, she'd spank us. And then she'd absolutely not mention it ever again. Just put the salve on the welts. I know God doesn't do that to us. We don't have to pay for sin. Sin's already been... We torture ourselves and we say, God, I want to confess. I'm so ashamed. I'm so guilty. I'm filled with guilt. God, I've done it again, God. I've fallen again, God. I said, what's the problem? The blood of Christ, come. Confess. Yes, you have to confess. But I'll deliver you from blood guiltliness. I'll deliver you from guilt. I'll deliver you from those things. Now we'll take care of it. Yes, there's a chastisement, but it doesn't have to do with the sin. It has to do with you getting it right so you don't sin again. Imagine if God dealt with it like school teachers used to. Now you got to write on the board 100 times, I will not pull Susie Salzgiver's hair. I had to write that 100 times on the board after school one day. I will not pull Susie Salzgiver's hair. Of course I did. Aren't you glad God doesn't deal with us like that? I don't want to knock our brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church, but you go to a priest and confess it, and he goes, go say 7 Hail Marys and say whatever. I mean, Jiminy Crickets. Can I just get forgiveness? It provides a perfect sacrifice of holy obedience. The second thing is, the eternal spirit was in the life of that blood. Through the eternal spirit, he offered himself. The blood opened the grave, and then the blood opened the heavens. His blood was sprinkled on our conscience, fully cleansed, our conscience fully cleansed. The sense of guilt and condemnation are removed forever. The sense of guilt and condemnation removed forever. God is not condemning us, neither is He causing us to be guilty. That's the enemy. Our conscience involves our entire spiritual nature. Our heart is cleansed and perfected. And my friend, if there's any guilt and condemnation in your heart, it must go. This is not something that needs to be bargained for. We don't need to go to God and say, God, let's you and I make a deal. I'll agree to this if you agree to that. God says, no, 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 there ain't no deals. Deals have already been made. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time. God, Jesus already made amends for this sin. You can't make a deal with me on the sin. It's already been taken care of. Just confess it. And that's what some of us have a problem with. We have a problem confessing sin. We want to hold on to it so we suffer a little bit. Oh, I really screwed up. I'll pray. But in the morning, I want to have bad dreams and not be able to sleep. Internalizing things so we get sick physically. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to you. Oh, I'll confess to God after I've felt bad about enough about the sin, then I'll confess it. No, as soon as you sin, if you sin, confess it. Because sin left unchecked in your soul, in your mind, will, and emotion, you can't touch your spirit. Sin left unchecked begins to fester and boil over, and it affects your emotions, it affects your relationship, it affects everything. The reason why God says to confess sin, don't let the sun go down on your anger, confess the sin, get rid of it. If we sin, confess it, get rid of it. Don't let it sin. Because we want to, I want to be godly. I want to rest. Let's run it past. Get that DVD going. This is how I sin. Oh man, why did I do that? Oh man, play it again. Rewind. Oh man, why did I do it? You're beating yourself up. Oh, who will deliver me from this body of sin? And heaven goes, we already did. Confess it. Oh, did you? Confess it. Oh, would you? We're arguing with somebody that wants to give us a clean bill of health. Am I the only one that's ever going through that? I'm preaching where you're living. But we need to have the revelation of what this scripture is saying to us. God's made a way. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. The inferiority that you feel can go at your release of faith. Some of us this morning just need to go, I repent and I receive the blood of Christ as forgiveness to my sin. Right now, you need to do it. Release it. I don't care what it is. Those who walk under this condemnation are held captive by a lie. You've been imprisoned by a lie. There are people here today, I'm talking to you this morning. Everybody else can go home, I'm talking to you this morning. There are people here this morning that have lived under this kind of weight for years. Because you believe that your sin, this sin that you did, cannot be forgiven. I'm here to tell you, it's already been forgiven. That sin has already been forgiven on the cross. Confess it now, get rid of it. Don't let the enemy have one more second of your heart. One more second of your time. Be set free today. Do not let one more moment go by bound in any way. Woo, come on, somebody. Man, a room full of free people. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? We're going to live for God. We're going to witness for God. We're going to talk about God. We're going to be thankful for the things God gave us. We're not going to go walking around, oh, I'm just not good enough. I know I'm there somewhere. Come on, somebody. Christ's death ratified the covenant forever. Verse 15 says, and for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. That's you and I. For where there is a testament, there also must be necessity, the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Christ died to ratify the covenant. We are inheritors of the promises. You ever been around somebody that can't wait for the relatives to die? Come on, somebody. Everybody's heard stories at least. Just kind of waiting, being nice to the rich person that needs to die so you can get their money. Come on, somebody. We don't have to wait. He already died, and we don't have to feel bad about his death because he didn't stay dead, and we get all the blessings and still have a relationship with him. Isn't that great? You know, these people must, I don't know how they sleep at night. They can't wait for him to die. Now they spend all their money, and they're not there to share it with them. We've got it all. Christ already died. We don't have to wait till he dies. He died, and he rose again. The mediator must oversee the sacrifice that provides the blood. You can go through that when you're at home. He is a minister of the sanctuary, Jesus Christ. He is the receiver and judge of the perfect sacrifice, God the Father. He is the one that provides the way, the mediator, the Holy Spirit. They're all involved. His death brought us our life. His death and His resurrection fulfill the role of the minister and the mediator. Once the covenant was made, it's not going to be made anymore. We don't have to re-ratify. We don't have to go and make deals. Come on, somebody. Oh, God, I promise if you'll forgive me, I'll promise. He said the promise has already been made off of. No, but you don't understand, God. Yeah, I understand. You'll have everything you need. Just confess your sin. We died with Him and we rose with Him. His death brought us our life. His death and His resurrection fulfilled. His death brought the testament, the covenant alive. The covenants were made with the shedding of blood. The blood was sprinkled on all things. The people, the book of the law, and the articles of the sanctuary were sprinkled with blood. When Moses, before he went to the mountain, he took the blood of a lamb and sprinkled it on the people. And the people said, whatever you hear from God, we'll listen to. All things pertaining to God have been sprinkled with the blood of Christ. His people, we have been sprinkled with the blood. You say, where's the blood? It's all over you. His covenant, sprinkled with the blood. When God looks at you, He sees Jesus. Come on, somebody. The articles of the sanctuary in the heavenlies, even they have been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Jump to Roman numeral 8. Heaven itself is cleansed by the blood. Therefore, it was necessary that the copy of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Sin must not reign anywhere at any time. Heaven subjected itself to the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. Even the perfect was sprinkled with the pure. Everywhere Christ sprinkled the blood is now open to us. We're going to talk next week with boldness to enter the holiest of holies. With boldness by the blood of Jesus Christ. Without guilt, shame, and reprisal. The blood perfected all things to open all things. Stop asking permission to get in the presence of God. God, if you're not too busy. You're intimate with Him. In closing, let me say this. He offered Himself once. I believe in it. I don't think we should take it down. I don't think the cross. I think the cross is a symbol of the great love that Father had for us when He died on the cross. But my friend, He's not there. We're not there. Once. Look what it says. Verse 25. And that He should offer Himself often as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. Verse 26, He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Oh, thank You, Jesus. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. When He appears in the heavenlies, and He calls us, and we get reintroduced with our new bodies, I've often said, glory, can't wait. No aches, no pains. He'll appear once again. His sacrifice settled forever all debts between God and man. There is nothing due in the heavens. Stop thinking that. Oh, you know, I have to fast and pray or I'm not going to get over it. No, fasting and praying is coming against the enemy and breaking the bounds of wickedness in someone else or somewhere else, not in you. Come on, somebody. His resurrection settled forever the question of who rules on the earth. Who rules on the earth? Who rules on the earth? Who rules on the earth? Everybody take your finger like this. Point right here. We do. We rule and reign in Christ. Satan is the prince of power of the air, but he ain't got nothing over me. Come on, somebody. I rule. I'm not saying that in a prideful way. Without Christ, I'm nothing. I'm zero for him kicked off. But because of Christ and the authority he's given me and the inheritance that he's given me, come on, somebody. Go tell Ivanka Trump today that she can't go wherever she wants. That's brilliant. We rule and reign. His resurrection settled forever the question of who rules on the earth. He's coming back for a bride without spot or blemish and no defeat. And his coming will settle forever the questions of what the kingdom is and what it will do. I love the fact that when he comes back, he's going to say, you know, for 1,000 years I'm going to show you. He's going to set up his kingdom in Israel and he's going to show us how the earth was supposed to run. Commerce will continue. Governments will continue. People will still have kids. You and I will be ruling and reigning with Christ in the spirit realm, travel, thought travel. For 1,000 years, Christ is going to show us how it's done. And then heaven comes and touches earth and fall apart and be weak, emaciated. And then all of a sudden he'll come. No, he's coming for a bride without spot, without blemish. He's coming for a strong people that know who they are and do great exploits in him. Oh, for the revelation of that. Pray with me. God, give us revelation of what your Bible is saying today, God. Lord, thank you for the writer of Hebrews. Thank you for surpassing our expectations in reminding us of what happened in the heavenlies. Thank you for welcoming us into your kingdom. Thank you for housing inside of each one of us. God, right now, I spoke to a couple of people this morning and we're praying with them right now. If they have not released this guilt and condemnation, that they do it right now. We release this guilt and condemnation over anyone that's been holding on to it. In Jesus' name, be free. In Jesus' name, be free. We come against you, devil, that has lied to these people this long. Your lies will last no more. We break every power of the enemy in this room right now. God, thank you for delivering us through the cross and inviting us all the way into the Holy of Holies. Thank you for the relationship that you've given us. Thank you for your word that proves it. Thank you for your presence that builds it and strengthens it. God, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. God, I pray for each and every one today. Father, as we travel to see family, as family comes to see us, may we be so thankful this week. Lord, may our homes be filled with your presence in all that we think and we do and we say. And it's in your holy name we pray. Amen.